Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless you. This is Words from the Word, and I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and I am appreciative of you sharing this news challenge with us as we go through the Secrets of the Vine book and Bible study. It is going to be a different kind of study than Words for the Word is accustomed to, but I think that it will be exhilarating and it will be a blessing. And it definitely is going to enhance our spiritual growth and development. And it is going to be insight into our thoughts and our purpose in life and that which we were created to do. We hear so many church words and church phrases and terms, and we try to embrace them and incorporate them in our lives, and we do it as best we know to do it through the guidance and the help of the Holy Spirit to do those things that are in line with what heaven has for us. We looked at last book we looked at. I can't remember the name of it. Jesus. But we looked at the Holy Spirit and the role that he plays and the position that he wants us to get in and the place of living that we must abide in. So it is not an experience, it is not an event, but it is a lifestyle bonded to the invitation that God gave us to come up hither, to come close to So sit back and relax and make sure you do your Bible study for the week. There are some piercing questions, and then there are just some questions that make you go, things you may not have thought about or may not have taken the time to ponder. So you may have thought about them, but you didn't give them much thought, and you moved on. Well, we want to linger there for a little while in these places of reflection on our life, because there is a window clean for us so that we can see out of it brightly. Christ moved the curtain back, so we definitely have access to it. But sometimes our insight and our sight, spiritual sight, is not as clear as it will be. And so in this position that we are abiding in, there's a new view. There's a clearer view. There is a greater understanding of what we're seeing through the lens of the Word of God. And so it will impact us differently in a more, not that it would be different, but it will be a more impactful way. It will be more ours in the Bible, but they are life to our living, and they are keys, secrets, and weapons, and they belong to us, and we are going to learn to use them as we understand more clearly the way that the Lord would have us to go. So, as usual, the enemy has an agenda, but his is canceled by the blood of Jesus. And we are going to go forth on another phone, and yet we are going to go forth. So don't hang up, no matter what happens, okay? We are going to have our meeting. And so we want to start today with the first installment. We talked a lot about the environment last week and what life looked like for at this particular time that Christ was sharing with his disciples. We see some things that were familiar, very, very familiar, but I pray we see it in a different light as we understand how. Okay, so as. Okay. We got some issues. It was just in the comma there. Okay. All right. So, prayerfully, this technology that we have hooked up, a backdoor way of going for, and I pray everyone can hear me. I'm going to put you all on speaker. So if you can't hear me, just give me a holler. Give me a second. Okay. So, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, I have yeses in the house. All right, so... We want to look at this in, I want to say, everyday eyes, with everyday eyes. Not the biblical eyes of Jerusalem, but in a common, as sometimes you look at a movie that's in another period, in another time, it with different culture and a different worldview of things. And, you know, a picture from the 60s, the 60s or... 1830, and the language is different. Their daily routine looks different. Well, we want to look at this during that time where they're just normal people, just like you and me. So take them out of the period costumes, if you will, or what they're wearing in your mind, your eyes. And just think of them as men and women going about life, daily routine. The daily routine, I don't see not life, it is life, but the daily routine. And as they do so, they are interacting with Christ. And so we set that stage up last week. Looking at the environment, looking at the day-to-day, what this looked like for in the eyes of the disciples. Or in the eyes of the 12 just normal men who had found something different. And so the author shares with us the message that Christ gave to them on his way to the cross. He stopped specifically and he gave this in-depth teaching to them about a vineyard and the vine dresser and the branch and the vine. And he gave it to them because it was paramount for them to understand what life was going to look like now. Because it was changing. It was changing because he had come. And so that is the, like, backdrop of what we're endeavoring to examine. And I just wanted to ask you a question. Okay. The purpose of this study is to have life and have it more abundantly, to have fruit and have abundant fruit, to live a life of abundance. Christ said, I came so that you may have life. That's our normal everyday life, but you would have it abundantly. And so I thought about it. I said, as this is actually the first word that the author basically uses in the book, in the preface, is the word abundance. So we want to look at abundance. So this is my question to you. The author says that abundance is the overflow of true worth in a person's life. It is exactly what you and I were born for. No wonder we so deeply desire it. So, this is what we desire. This is what Christ came that we might have. All that he did for this purpose, because abundance is the overflow of true worth in a person's life. That question, why am I here? What am I here for? You know, what is my mission in life? We ask those things even before we understood our destiny in the Lord. You know, what am I going to do? What am I going to be? How am I going to live? And so the word abundant, and this is God's answer to that, you're going to live abundant. So I'm going to give you some words. And as you hear these words, I need you to examine your life and see what in your life fits this description. Abundant. A very large quantity of something. So I saw a large quantity. What does that mean? So this synonyms to it. It's an avalanche, a deluge, a flurry, a wave, an outbreak, an outpouring, a superabundance, a large quantity, a large quantity, proficient, affluent, lavish, bountifully, infinitely, plenitude, plenty, a lot of, mass quality, scores, millions, multitude, mountains of, bags of, loads of, this is the abundance, oodles of, a shed load of, just an enormous amount of plenty, this fullness of the good things of life, prosperity. So what in your life fits that now? Okay. What do you have a flood of? What do you have an avalanche of? What do you have a wave of, an outbreak of, an outpouring of, a proficient, profusion of, so much of, a plethora of, a superabundance, a large number, a large quantity, a mass? What in your life can be identified with that word abundance? And so we just need to think about, what do I have a million of? You know, what do I have a multitude of? What do I have scores of? Well, I just got so much of it. What do I have the wealth of? Apostle is saying, grace. Amen. So that's what God gives us. And he gives us that abundance of grace so that we would have things in our life that are in abundance, a very large quantity of. And it is a beautiful, I don't mean the negative things that we have. A lot of us have an abundance of very negative things. But these are beautiful things, overflowing with true worth in our life. So what's in your life that just overflows, okay, with this abundance, with this quantity of substance, large number? What do you have that's bountifulness, lavishness? What do you have that fits this description? Okay, Apostle is saying love and forgiveness. Having so much of it, so much of love that it just overflows in every thought you have, every word you speak. Okay, she's saying what God gives to us. He gives us abundance, but he created us to be abundant. So he created us to allow what he gives us to flow from us. And his stuff only comes in abundance, okay? So what has he given us? What do we have? What is in our life? Okay, a pastor. It's a combination of an apostolic pastor. Okay, no, I don't see that. But anyway, but so what she's saying is vision and passion. She has an abundance. Her life oozes vision. And this is very true. So we need to identify where is this abundance, because Christ died so we could have it, so that we would have the ability, the facility to house this abundance that we're getting from God, so that it can abundantly flow from our life, which is what gives our life this true worth. Personally, a true worth. This is all combining the search for significance. This is combining experiencing God, the flow of the Holy Spirit. All of these things were released to us, first of all, through the life, death, and resurrection and the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, I came so that you may have life abundantly. So everything that he did in life when he was here and after he was here, because he established it while he was here, was so that we would have this avalanche of something. We would have this flood of something. We would have this torrent of something. I don't know if you ever seen water. When you go to Niagara Falls, and when it before gets to the falls, I mean, it's moving. It's probably moving at 30 or 40 miles an hour because it's going to this place, and it's in a rush to get it. It's in a flood to get there, this torrent, and it brings everything along with it. It just picks it up, this wave, an outbreak, an outpouring that just flows from your life. A condition of having something in such an abundance, you can't keep it. It flows from you. That's what God wants us to enjoy, to enjoy. And the beautiful thing about it, and the author shares this in the prefix, is the fact that you pray for this. This is a part of your prayer. Lord, make me, a vessel. Lord, use me. Lord, make my life a living sacrifice. Lord, these are prayers we pray. Lord, bring me to your throne. You know, Lord, teach me. Lord, forgive me. We should have an abundance of forgiveness, because he's given us that same abundance. He's given us forgiveness. Everything he gives us in abundance. That's why we can't even count it. How many times do I forgive? 70 times 70. Just giving us a number so that we can see something physical, but the number represents symbolically that you can't. You can't forgive enough. You cannot stop forgiving. Forgiving must always flow from you like a torrent, like a river raging. Forgiveness should come from you. Like bags and bags of love should just, you just drop them everywhere. You got just bags, money falling out of the bags of love, falling out these this abundant quantity of love that you have. There's heaps and heaps and masses of this love just overflowing from you. This is what our life was intended to be. And so what happens when it's not? What happens when it's not? So that is what we are going to, as they say, excavate out of this scripture. And the fact that this is where we are going to go, because the Bible says through all of the abundant promises that he has for us, which should establish within us an abundant hope. I have hope beyond hope. Anything that happens, you see the positive side because you have faith in the promises of God, and this is what he has promised. This is the abiding in the vine. This is the secrets of the vine, is to identify, to embrace, to passionately pursue and release this abundance that God has for us, because in doing so, we then are properly representing the vine dresser, because this is the fruit that will come from the life of that which he has tended to, he's given his love and his care to. And so that is the message that Christ wanted to deliver to his disciples on the way to Gethsemane after the Lord's Supper, when he stopped in the vineyard and shared with them what life was going to look like after his coming. As his followers, they had one thing in mind, and he was saying, no, that is not the way of the master. I love it. It is not the way of the wine dresser. And so he is using an illustration of what happens in a vineyard to reach in them, or to give them an understanding of what is to happen now that they have believed. Now that they have believed and the truth has been revealed to them, this is what life is going to look like. This is the prophetic word that others have misunderstood and misinterpreted the word, because they said he was coming and that he would, that one day that the Messiah would come and he would deliver Israel from all of her oppressors forever. So they were looking for this military victory, this political victory, this economic victory. It was interesting. I love it the way the author shared how at the dinner, he said different ones started to imagine, if you will, you know, what life is going to look like now that he's come. He says, Matthew says, you know what, we don't have to worry about money wolves anymore. Not anymore. We are about to go in an abundant time, and they are. But the abundance was not necessarily to mean in wealth. They didn't want to miss the fight. They figured thousands of angels would come down and teach those Romans a lesson. We are people who love to see the enemy punished. And yet God says vengeance is mine. It is not something we are even to desire to see. It may happen and we may see it, but our abundance should be in forgiving and in love and in prayer on their behalf. So there were many things that had to be corrected in their mindset, in their understanding of what was about to happen. Praise the Lord. Uh-oh. No more chicken. Okay. All right. So, with the reading of the first chapter, we're going to turn into our study guide, our Bible study, and start with our day one. Okay? We've looked at the concept of the picture of what true abundance is, the fact that that abundant life is a part of what we will produce through the wine, the vine dresser. Our thoughts and attitudes that will, you know, and we do love God. And it's part of our prayer. It is part of our prayer to obey him and to bring him honor and glory. And that is done through our life as our abundance flows from us. So, your thoughts, this is a new book, a new study, and as you read the introduction in the first couple of chapters, what were your thoughts? The lines are open. And what are your expectations? This is going to be a dialogue with me rambling on or sharing.
Good morning, Overseer.
Yes.
As I was reading, my thing caught my interest. Well, not interest. I shouldn't say interest, but my eye. And I can't say. Oh, here it is. I got so many books here.
I hear you.
Yeah. Okay. Was okay. You bear inner fruit when you allow God to nurture in you a new Christ-like quality, and then it lists the fruit of the Spirit, and then he says you bear outward fruit when you allow God to work through you to bring him glory. Fruit is your only permanent deposit in heaven. Real fruit always lasts, and it's the main earthly reason you were saved. Paul told Christians that created in Christ Jesus for good works. Our dreams, like the disciples, are always too small. We are here to fulfill God's dreams. And I read that, and, you know, when you're growing up, you think about your dreams, not God's dreams. You know, what you want. What you want for your life and our life. And so he says, our dreams, like the cycle, are always too small. We are here to fulfill God's dream that we will bring through a remarkably abundant life. And that's how we find our greatest personal fulfillment now and for eternity. So as I was saying, you know, we usually, when you're growing up, you're not thinking about God's dreams. You're thinking about your dreams, you're dreaming of, or this is what I want from my life. This is what, you know, well, I want to go. I want to take. These are things I want to do for me. You know, so that stood out to me because I'm, you know, you never think about, well, I never thought of it. And that honor, and he was bringing it, you know. And when he broke down the vineyard, and he was breaking down the vine and the Father as the vine dresser,
mm-hmm.
and the branches and so forth. I found it very interesting because I never gave it any thought. Exegetic, if that's the right word. I just read
right.
it. And, you know,
Amen.
That was it. But when, you know, he broke it down like this, it just makes it more, I can't think of a word, but fulfilling. And just causes you to feel of some man,
mm-hmm.
you know, to know that, okay, this is how this works. So that, and then I'm in trying to answer some of the questions. It's something.
Yes, it is.
The first question on page 15, I was trying to answer, and then I got where it says, what are some observations about the parallels in our spiritual lives, as well as number two, what is the relationship between faith and good works? So I was still working on that. That's as far as I got, and I haven't even answered it yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I just need everyone to know, you're looking in the workbook, aren't you?
I'm in the course workbook, yes, ma'am.
Okay, she's in the workbook, and most of us don't have that workbook, but we do have the study guide, okay? And so sometimes different ones are going to interject what they have learned from the sources that they're looking at. And I think that will broaden all of our understanding, because different ones are going to share from different perspectives. So from the perspective of the workbook, okay? So now from the perspective of the study guide, you will come up with those things that are difficult to answer as well. Okay, continue, Elder.
Yes, so I did answer the question in the Bible study guide.
Mm-hmm.
My life purpose inventory.
Yes.
So I did do that.
Mm-hmm. What did that do for you?
It makes you think.
Because
when I first read it, I said, okay, how do I answer this? But after reading, you know, after reading his book and, you know, the other book, the coursework
right.
book,
yeah.
everything, then I was drew from what I read to answer the questions, because I never thought about it in this manner.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought, okay, God wants my life to add up to a significant harvest, or God wants me to know what he expects from my life and to understand how to cooperate with him every day. Well, I never
right.
thought of that manner, the way he's
bringing it
out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Trying hard to stay busy and productive doesn't guarantee that I'm pleasing. Well, I know that. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pleased with God or what
right.
I'm
right.
God wants me to live up to my potential. I never thought about a potential
right.
in him, for my potential life harvest, so much that he would intervene in my life to help me produce a big crop. So I never thought of it in that, the way he
right
addressing it.
mm-hmm.
I knew he wanted us to produce a harvest, but I didn't think of my potential harvest so much
mm-hmm.
that he could intervene in my life to help me produce it.
Mm-hmm.
God wants my life to add up to a significant harvest for his kingdom. So
right.
I'm just that when he uses the word a significant harvest for his kingdom,
right.
And, you know, that's a big
big word.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of those that abundant. It's like when I looked up abundant, you know, we think abundant life, that's the good life. It's like, no, you're overflowing with millions of stuff. It's like, oh, millions. No. And yet we should. We should be able to identify something in our life that we do have in abundance. Not just what he gives us, but what our life gives off. What is a part of my life that I have in abundance? And I love it when Apostle says her vision and her passion. And so I realize that's something you have to open your heart to God in order to get something to the magnitude, and we all feel this way, that Apostle gets. It's like, wow, okay, he told you that. You know, he shares in her in her life, her Christian life, not even her Christian life, just her life, this magnitude of things that most of us, it don't compute. It's like, I remember once her sharing when we first got coming to Chicago, and we passed, let me get the right, was it Wrigley Field? What's the other baseball field in Chicago? What's
the
Wrigley Field?
Sox,
White Sox,
and
yeah. Okay, well, is there a stadium?
Those are the two. There's a stadium.
Okay.
You talking about United, the United Center or something? Oh.
Yeah.
No, not the center.
But that
a
wasn't
stadium.
That wasn't the name
okay.
of it.
Okay.
Okay.
Stadium,
right.
Those are the two.
I think it was Wrigley Field.
Wrigley
okay.
Field pops was the one.
Okay, so you think of Wrigley Field, right? Now, we just get into Chicago, and she's saying, you know, that's going to be, that may not be big enough for her ministry. It's like, oh, okay.
Yes, Wrigley Field,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's okay. So that's abundance. That, you know, that's abundant above all that I can ever think, oh, imagine a dream, you know. But those
yes.
were the dreams mm-hmm. he gave her. That was the vision. And it's with a passion she has pursued it. And that's
mm-hmm.
that overflowing mm-hmm. abundance. And it's affected us. We got our feet wet. And sometimes mm-hmm. it went up to our ankle. And for some of us, it went to our knees. But it was that overflow of an abundance of what she received of God as the purpose mm-hmm. and the fulfillment of her life. And so that's the kind of, because under the talking point, it says, who do you know that is making a significant difference for God? And that's what I put, Apostle. Because as the question as you know, it add up to a significant harvest for the kingdom, I always thought that's for them. You know, the apostles and the people that, you know, the Billy Grahams, that's not for me. That's for
right.
I never thought of that. But now we understand, no, that's for us. He is not a perspective, you know, of people. But it's what position are we in and how do we receive it? And some will say, well, you know what? I'm not, that's not me. you know, that's not the gift of my life. But what we don't understand is the gift came from the gift giver, and he doesn't have a limit. And we're only limited by our thinking and our belief about who he is and what he would have for us. Now, he wouldn't tell us we're sitting in heavenly places with all spiritual blessings if there was not an abundance that we should be releasing in the earth realm. And that's what gives his Father glory, when we produce or release this abundance. Because if we have it, it doesn't matter to him if we're not sharing it. If it is not overflowing, then it does not glorify him. It puffs us up, maybe, but it does not glorify the Father. And so that's one of the other talking points, is it says, what is it about this person's life that seems so important? And so it was like there is a godly responsibility that I felt like she had. I don't have that. It's not only that for her. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. You know, that there's some responsibility is that's for the leaders and the, you know, them. And I never know who the them are, but it's those people,
yeah.
Okay? And yet we are all given that same godly responsibility. And we have to embrace it. And we can only do that when we understand the godly responsibility will be manifested or brought to pass through the working, and here you go, of the seventh flow function of the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. You know, we think of God the Father, you know, he is the great I am and the ancient of days. He rules and reigns. And then we think of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the friend, our companion, our victor, the King of Kings. But then we say, and Holy Spirit, he ain't no joke. Okay, he's just as powerful and just as, you know, to be reverenced as the other Father and Son. And he is the one that brings this to pass in this dispensation, in this time in history. There was the Old Testament, there was the New Testament. And this, excuse me, is the fulfillment of the New Testament comes through God the Holy Spirit. And he ain't no joke. And he is going to bring about what the Father and the Son have established. And he's going to bring it about in us. And which is why that sevenfold flow of the Holy Spirit gets us to not really be afraid of this magnitude of godly responsibility. And then it says, what are some of the traits that you would like to have said about you? And that really messed me up. And then that's the traits that are natural, but the spiritual heavenly traits. What are some of the traits that you would like to have said about you? And that stopped me for a little while. You know, you could think of all of those, you could think of the religious answers, I'll put it that way. And yet what's in my heart, and that's not religion, but in my heart, what is the relation forming, the relation developing in me? What trait is this relationship developing in me? And remember, for it to develop, we have to focus on it. So if I don't know what it is, I don't know what the trait is or the trait that I am obtaining to, how can I cooperate, which is what I love, the one that says we have to cooperate with him. Which one said that? But we have to cooperate, that God wants us. Oh, God wants me to know what he expects from my life and to understand how to cooperate with him every day. Every day. So this just brings for me everything. This takes all the prayers, you know, all of the Bible study, all of the teachings we've done and all the things we've done, it sits in our lap and say, okay, here we are. Now, what you going to do with it? It's going to look back at us. Has it done what God wants us to do? And not in our expectations, because remember, we didn't really think we had to do significant stuff. You know, one or two, praise the Lord, and that's it. So, and then we'll get to see, too, as we go forth, which I'm really excited about, the fruit that we are to be producing and what that fruit will look like and what it will say. So I don't know who else may have answered the question. My score was more like I was headed for a good thing. I wasn't there.
Well, I answered according to, you know, my reading more so than, you know, my reading and understanding what he said. I answered. Probably if I had answered it before reading, it would have been lower. But
yeah, I did.
But,
yeah.
After the reading, I answered according to the reading. But the one, number one, I'm still thinking on it, about what have you accomplished in your life so far that might be eternally important from God's point of view, and why did you pick what you did? I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I could think of things, but I'm not sure if that's necessarily right, because when he used the word that might be eternally important from God's point of view.
Yes, yes. And
I think that.
Yeah, I think too that, because I did it before I read it. Okay, so I did it before I read it, because I was just looking at it, and I said, oh, what is that? And I was like, oh, okay, no, yeah, okay. I don't know. Or I agree. It was something like, thank God, I would have had a poor picking if I had agreed with something. It was very insightful. And actually, it was very exciting, because it's like, oh, wait a minute. I'm not satisfied with that. No. And that was the thing that the author shared with us, you know, in the very introduction. This is because you prayed and you want more. You don't want it to be barren, and you don't want just some fruit. You don't want more fruit. I want much fruit, because
right.
This is what glorifies the Father, and he's worth glorifying. I mean, he deserves that. And I want to be the one that will bring it forth from my life on his behalf. So I think that this brings it very, like I say, this takes everything and then puts it in our lap. So I think it's going to be wonderful dialogue and interaction. Anybody else want to share their answers to the study, the work, the study Bible, day one, week one?
Overseer, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Can you hear me? I'm in the closet. No. But I have the devotional for day one. Can I share that?
Okay, yes.
It's entitled The Great Exchange, and it starts with just one verse of scripture, which is John 15, 10 and 11. Well, I guess that's two verses, 10 through 11. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The thing I have spoken to you, I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. goes on to say, this is a book about grace as a metaphor for supernatural abundance in your life. Big, beautiful, juicy grapes, bushels of them. But since I'm from Georgia, where we grow a lot of peaches, could I talk about peaches first? One spring, years ago, when our family moved out of the country, out to the country, I heard about a prize-winning local orchard. Famous Georgia peaches, my neighbor proudly said, big as melon, sweet as nectar. But the first time I saw the orchard, I was shocked. It was early spring with not a peach in sight, and under every tree a thicket of long, unsightly poles propped up each branch. Had a twister come through, I thought? Had some invisible disaster attacked a once famous landmark? I didn't know. I went home thinking it looked more like a tree hospital than a famous orchard. When I asked my neighbor what had befallen the orchard, he laughed. Just wait a few months, he said. You'll get the picture. I went back to the orchard in midsummer, and I got the picture. The trees, the peaches were the largest, most beautiful I had ever seen, and the crop was so heavy that the purpose of those poles became immediately clear. Without them, the sheer weight of the ripening fruit would easily have snapped the branches. That was important to me. As I walked through, that was my own insert, as I walked through the rows of trees, I found myself praying, Lord, may my life someday look like this orchard for you. May the fruit of my life be so heavy that you'll need angels to hold up the branches, and whatever you need to do in my life to make me a person who can produce that kind of abundance, Lord, please do it. That spontaneous prayer is at the heart of this little book, a plea for supernatural productivity for God's kingdom, and a plea for his work in our lives to make it possible. These are requests God promises to answer, but there is a catch. To get the life God has in mind for you, you have to be willing to make an exchange. You have to be willing to go against the grain of what you may have assumed to be true, to be willing to respond to God in new ways that won't feel at all safe or smart, at least to begin with. Bumper crops don't just happen naturally. So in this book, where our conversation is set in a vineyard, we will be talking about the things, we will be talking about things like mud and mildew, cleaning and restraining, and cutting away perfectly good growth. We will also be talking about trying again in areas you may have tried hard in before. But please don't hear the words and lose the picture. The words are about how God tends your life, T-E-N-D-S your life. The picture is what he is preparing you to produce, a harvest so extraordinary that you'll need his arms underneath you just to hold up the branch. Are you willing to cooperate with how God works in your life at a deeper level? If so, then you are signing up for the great exchange. Jesus promised it to his disciples in the vineyard the last night he was alive. Jesus said, you and I can expect to have this rarest abundance of all, an abundance of the heart, as we produce a harvest for him. He said we can have it in full and should settle for nothing less. He calls it joy. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. As you go through your day today, try this. Pull out all your old assumptions, worn out expectations, and broken ideas about how God works in your life. As you go through your day today, try this. Pull out all of your old assumptions, worn out expectations, and broken ideas about how God works in your life. Empty the junk drawer of your spirit. Then find a moment to stand in the presence of Jesus and lay down your worthless collection. Tell him it's time you made the great exchange. Accept his offer and set out with me on the path toward a joy that remains. Accept his offer and set out with me on the path toward a joy that remains. And this is what he says if you're journaling. It's only one sentence. My Vineyard Journal. Lord, lead me into a life of extraordinary joyful abundance for you. Help me to desire it passionately. Today, show me a glimpse of what my harvest could be like by this time next year. And it ends with this quote from Oswald Chambers. Joy comes from seeing the complete fulfillment of the specific purpose for which I was created and born again, not from successfully doing something out of my own choosing. Joy comes from seeing the complete fulfillment of the specific purpose for which I was created and born again, not from successfully doing something of my own choosing. I know that was long, but I thought that was a powerful devotional. So that was the devotional for day one for Secrets of the Vine.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought when I read it, it was a mouthful. Yeah. Especially when he said, as you go through your day-to-day, pull out all your old assumptions, worn-out expectations, and broken ideas about how God works in your life. Empty the junk drawers of your spirit. That's a mouthful, as they say, because you can immediately, in reading it, things, you know, just come to mind that, you need to get rid of, or they're still lurking or what have you. So,
the energy is really powerful with that jump through. You know, I also thought when it talks about bumper crops don't just naturally happen. And when it talks about, you know, that he's going to talk about mud, mildew, cleaning, and restraining. And then when he says, and clean away perfectly good growth. And I think that is very difficult for Christians. That, to me, it speaks to things that we do and we do well that we don't want to give up. I had a conversation with someone this morning. We were talking about accountability. I'm like, okay, I can retire. It's time for you to take this over. And they laugh. But a lot of times we don't want to let stuff go. You know, and I was saying it kind of tongue in cheek, but I was serious. And when we talked about sometimes you have to cut away good books, sometimes we get so possessive, and it's not ours. All of this stuff belongs to God, you know, and we just make our little bastions that this is mine, no matter what it is. I'm the choir director. I've always been the Sunday school teacher. You know, sometimes, you know, God has to take us off the planet to let, you know, another Negro do the job. You know, and it shouldn't be that way. Because he blesses us all with so many different streams, and that's something to me that I'm seeing more and more, that we need to stretch out in areas and do things differently, in different ways. You know, be open to the possibility that you can do something different.
Yes.
You know, just because you do that well doesn't mean that's what God saves you. You know, church chores and what versus what God has designed, you know, and planned for your destiny.
Amen. Amen. So does anybody else have insight or what book you're reading and what you want to share from it? Because there's so many aids to this particular study, and they bring such insight. And one of the things from the devotional is where I find the prayer to meet the need from what I didn't have in my Bible study and didn't do well, or it brought up a question, you know, that I could not answer, then the devotion gives me a prayer to pray so that I can answer it according to the will and the word of God so that I grow. And so it is such an intertwining of studying and way of studying. And I know it may be a little different for some, and I don't want it to be confusing. What Elder Deborah read is the devotional from the Secrets of the Vine. There's a series of about four or five Bible, or not a book aid, as it relates to this study that you may want to pursue. Okay, but we don't necessarily...
I hate to interrupt you, but I'll do this. I'm coming on Sunday. I have the whole franchise of all of the books. I'm going to bring them so you can see the difference, so people can see. So if you're on the line and you come Sunday, I will bring the books, the study guide, the devotional, the video guide that Elder Roberta has, so everybody can see whatever and handle it, and you can decide what works for you or what you need. So you can have them all there and look at them all, you know, all at the same time, and people can see, because I think it can be helpful, but everybody might not need everything.
Right, exactly. And that's what
they're all little books, so I mean... All of these books together are as thick as your Bible, you know, and it's six of them. All of them together are about half the thickness of what your Bible would be. So it's not like it's, these are huge books in any count.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Visuals are always wonderful, and I just want everybody to be comforted to know, as long as you have the book and the Bible study, that our time together is going to be purposeful. And you don't have to feel like you're overwhelmed or lost or anything like that. Like, oh, what are they talking about? Just know there are, and as you said, you can see are there other resources. And so, but the two that we're going to focus on that you can follow along with will be your Bible study and your book. And from time to time, and because they have the devotional that's every day, the different ones will be read because they're very purposeful and they're very powerful. But you don't have to have it. You know, you'll hear it, and it will all be a part of our studying together. Okay? Any more questions,
yeah,
comments, concerns? Yes, Elton. Okay, I don't hear anything, so I'm hoping that all is well.
Hello, Paula.
Yes.
I thought somebody was going to say something. Okay, I had just wanted to ask, like, week one, the several pages, how do you want us to do it? Are those numbers days? Like week one, you were talking about week one, number one. Are those like the days?
Yeah.
So we're going to do it like that? Okay.
The Bible study is going to determine where we are reading. Because if you look at, let me see, something told us, okay, week one is fruitfulness, what God wants from the branch of your life. And it says recommended reading is Secret of the Vine, chapter 1 and 2, and Secret of the of the Vine devotional, week one. And so, if you have that, that's what you would read. And so as we go through this section of week one section in the Bible study, we're going to cover chapter 1 and 2 in the book. And we're going to cover week one in the devotional. Okay? So that's what we will go by. The recommended reading, read chapter 1 and 2. And really, because if you go ahead, okay, you get excited about what's ahead, and you know, but we want to linger over this meal. And so we don't want to rush through it. So we will be doing chapter 1 and 2, and we will be doing the 7 days, or the number 7 in week one, up to number 7 week one, which is all 7 days, in the Bible study guide. Okay?
Okay, so do the whole week one. Okay.
Thanks. Okay, week one. Yes. All right.
So page 20. Okay.
Okay. All right. Yes, go through page 19. Yes, in the Bible study. All right, great start. A lot of information, a lot of sharing, a lot of perception. And I need everybody to answer those questions, because they really do start stirring up stuff in you. And when you do the reading, you'll find assistance in evaluating the questions that you read. And I do encourage you to do the talking point. Who do you know that is making a significant difference in God? So even if it is Billy Graham or T.D. Jakes, you know, what is it about what they're doing? And then, you know, pray the prayer. Lord, I want to have fruit like that, where the angels got the whole mob up, because he'll do it. That's what he wants. So enjoy, embrace, obey, and know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Appreciate the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Value, treasure the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, because our lives will not be full of joy nor abundance unless we are in reverence, position with the Holy Spirit and the release of his power through the sevenfold elements of his nature in our life will produce and perfect the fruit that we produce. So we have a lot going on coming up in the natural or in our daily worship experiences tomorrow. There's 2, and Sunday there's 2, and there's a lot that is being stirred up, and these are instruments to help that stirring mix and bring the right consistency in our spiritual life, okay? So be blessed. If there be nothing else from no one else.
Elder Deborah, I didn't get that new evaluation. Well, not evaluation. I did not get that new form from Sherita.
You didn't get the link?
Okay.
No, I still don't have
it. All right, I will make a note and ask her to resend it out. I just checked it so far. I mean, I know that's another whole thing. That's not us on Friday Fellowship. But 17 people have done it over here since you're on the line and we're saying this. So that's good. 17 people have submitted it electronically. But I will get that to you, Elder. I will have Elder Sherita send it to you. I won't send it to you, but I'll ask her to send it to you.
All right.
That's it. You said 17 people.
I have gotten 17 responses electronically that I can see in my Google form.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Because I was going to say, we don't have 17 accountability partners, but I see what you're saying.
No, no. Some of the people, you know, you always have an overachiever.
Yes.
One person that hit me four times, that's how we got to 17.
Okay.
You know, pretty
no
much
problem.
Most of the people have sent it one time electronically. One person has sent it to me four times electronically, which got me to 17.
Okay.
But yeah,
got
so that's
you.
Cool.
Got
it's cool. But, yeah, we'll get it to you.
Okay.
And I'll show you on Sunday when I see you over here.
Okay. Nope, not a problem.
I'm bringing my tablet so you can see it. Yes.
You what?
I'll bring my tablet so you can see it real time.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, so we want to gather again next Friday. So be blessed. Be blessed.
Amen. Have a great weekend, you guys.
Amen. You too. Hope to see all of you at some point this week.
Amen.
I love you.